So a text message here, a story to share. My husband of 18 years died 8 years ago of cancer, leaving me and two children, 5 and 7 years old, devastated. I met my now husband, but 5 months after we met, I was diagnosed with a clot on my brain and I thought I was going to die. I couldn't believe how supportive my then boyfriend was, so I married him and still very much in love, and my children have an amazing father. Always be positive. Life is too short. And I think what's interesting there, Jay, is the, you know, out of a bereavement, there is then ill health. And something like that happened to you with the loss of Rowena. And, you know, as the years went by, you went into this depression and was dealing with the depression. You went to a therapist who really helped you. Said that was a pivotal moment.
Yes.
Where you felt you'd sort of turned a corner almost. But then you were struck down by a condition called reflex sympathetic dystrophy. RSD.
Yes.
What is this?
RSD is it's a fairly rare condition to start with, and it is a rare complication of either a trauma or an operation to a joint. And in my case, I had a fairly simple patellar tendon debridement to my right knee, and was just very, very unfortunate to contract this. It's like a virus that gets into your sympathetic nervous system and teaches the body to believe that pain is the normal way to feel. Your listener there, my heart goes out to her, because you feel that life is just beginning to surface, if you like, back into life. And then, you know, something else happens, and your listener must have thought, gosh, why me again?
Mm.
And I think, you know, you can have this why me thought, and it is a question, she says, of trying to remain positive.
Mm. When you had that moment, why me, were you thinking, what have I done to deserve this, or what did I do in my life that is, you know, is this my fault that these awful things are happening to me?
Yes, absolutely. I do think that you think that. And none of us lives our life without blemish. We've all done things that we regret, and I'm no exception. So you do start thinking to yourself, gosh, you know, I must have been a bad person. I'm sorry for anything that I did wrong, because clearly I'm having to learn a lot of life's lessons here.
Mm.
And it was... again, something completely out of the blue. I had picked up work again. I was writing again. I was actually running a sort of Ladies at Lunch magazine and having some interesting experiences doing that. But RSD is actually an autoimmune disease, so it affects your whole sympathetic nervous system. So things like temperature are controlled by it as well. And of course, I just got off a lot of the drugs that I was taking, all the drugs that I was taking, in fact, and then suddenly back into another illness and had to start taking medication again, quite a significant amount of it once it was properly diagnosed, which meant that you have to get used to all this kind of process again.
So from there, you are diagnosed, and it's very rare. And you mentioned there you have to go back onto a medication, and your body's taking that level of medication. What else happened? Is this when you were so a couple of hours every day, you had to go into a chamber?
Yes. I know it sounds completely mad. If you can imagine for a moment a baby incubator, but make it larger for an adult, this is the kind of chamber that I went into. It's a sort of mono chamber, so you're slid in on a metal trolley, and then the door is shut behind you with a bit of a hiss, like going into a submarine. And then what happens is that the air is purified, all the nitrogen is taken out of the air, and you're literally in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber and breathing pure air for up to 2 hours, 5 days a week. And the idea is that this actually helps heal damaged nerve tissues. It's, I suppose, a fairly alternative therapy. So I was taking medication. But what happens with RSD is that your limbs are in a lot of pain. Therefore, you're tempted not to use them. So I was walking with a stick. Sometimes I wouldn't walk at all. My husband had to carry me up to bed. It was very difficult. And I wasn't exercising because just the pure pain of existing was too much. And the oxygen tank gave me some respite from the pain. Didn't cure it by any means. I don't want to give anyone out there hope that this is some kind of miracle cure, because it absolutely isn't. But what it did was give me some respite, which enabled me to start exercising again and building up the muscles in my legs. I'd always been a very active person in terms of aerobics, dance, all that kind of thing in my past. And I'd lost all that. But this enabled me to get on an exercise bike. Endorphins are released when you exercise, and that in itself makes you feel better. So it was part of a recovery process for me, and I just got to thinking when I was in this hyperbaric oxygen tank, if I were writing a novel, what would I write about? And hence the title of The Thinking Tank comes from my experience in the hyperbaric oxygen tank.
And the characters, did they start to come to you then, or do you already had those in mind before?
I think it's fair to say that the characters developed themselves as the novel went along. I had this plot,
In
my head, but I even had a mind map on paper, if you like, with what was going to happen in this chapter, what was going to happen in this chapter. And yes, my character does go into an HTO, hyperbaric oxygen tank. But by chapter three, I threw the plot away, because the character started developing in such a way as to start wanting to do their own things. Now, I know that sounds totally bonkers, but I used to say to Martin, I can't wait to start writing again today because I want to see what happens to Sarah. I want to see what happens to Sally, because there are two strands in the book. There's a dual narrative going on, and they go off in separate ways, in separate time, in separate eras. So, yes, the characters sort of came to me when I was in the tank, but they weren't the right characters. They weren't the characters that end up in the thinking tank, and what happened to them in my mind in the thinking tank was not what, in fact, happens in the novel.
But do you think while you were in the tank that you sort of forced yourself to ask yourself a lot of questions and in a way it was a therapeutic process for you, other than the sort of the cleaning of the air and the oxygen and everything, but you were there almost in solitary, I suppose, and you had to face a lot of demons in there, perhaps?
It's extremely isolating, because there's a lot of whooshing and noises going on, and you get that pain in your ears that you get when you're on an aeroplane or when you're descending. So, yes, it's very isolating. I used to think to myself, what would happen if there were a fire? Because decompression took 10 minutes, safe decompression. I'm sure there were safety mechanisms, but I thought, would everybody run out and just leave me here? You know, all this stuff was going around in my head. And with that, your own demons are going around in your head. The one thing that you can do to distract yourself, though, is the fact that it's a perspex tank, and you can see a TV on the wall. And the nurses, I have to say, were fantastic. They made it seem as if, doesn't everybody go in an oxygen tank every day of the week? You know, this is normal. So you can see a TV, and you can either, in those days, you can choose a video and have that on, Pretty Woman, whatever you want, or you can watch whatever happens to be on television, and quite often it was a Jeremy Kyle show. So, you know, difficult choice that. So this used to happen day in, day out. And actually, you know, part of what happens to my main protagonist is the fact that she sees a film on the TV screen in the thinking tank, and no matter what she does, the film remains the same. No matter what she chooses, the film kind of chooses her. So that whole thing came to me, because it did feel like the film was choosing me, and as much as I certainly didn't want to watch what was on TV. But yes, it's very isolating. Even if you're watching a program, your mind drifts off. It can't help it. Obviously thinking about Rowena a lot, because you are isolated with your thoughts, and you know, I do feel like if she's with me, she's with me in there as well as everywhere else. So an isolating experience, but you know, part of life's pattern, and an interesting experience.
We're going to find out more about this experience from Jade DeWild, author of The Thinking Tank.